So there's our plots then. PE is the y-axis on this side. At the top then, very positive values, it's an oxidizing environment. Down the bottom, very negative values, it's a reducing environment. If we want to relate the EH, which is our measured value, to our PE, we can simply divide by 0.0591, as in the previous thing, but remember this strictly is calculated, whereas this one is measured. So on the axis over here, I've put an EH value in volts, whereas the PE, just like pH, has got no unit. So we're looking then at the plot, which goes pH versus PE. This is a very standard diagram. The limits that we're putting on this thing then have been provided to indicate the oxidizing limit for water and the reducing limit for water. So those lines then come from those expressions that we had before. And the inserts here and the dots and the lines indicate some typical environments. So first of all, we have got soil water indicated going from oxidizing down to reducing conditions and over a range of pHs from mildly acidic through to very slightly basic. Here you've got the value for ocean water, which remember the pH of this is going to be more towards the basic end of things, so it's got more carbonate present, but we don't get into reducing conditions. If we've got soils, then down this part, we've got organic rich, which means there's a lot of matter for the bugs to be working on. Waterlogged soils, so this then becomes in the reducing conditions, so it's below zero. And because of the fact that we've got a lot of organic matter, then we've got a lot of humic and fulvic acids floating around, so it makes it acidic. So the bad news for you guys is that you have to be able to generate one of these diagrams from scratch, put the axes on from scratch, put the oxidizing reducing limits on from scratch, and then place some potential waters into the diagram. So I could say, for instance, that you have got a swampy water, okay? Whereabouts would you position it on the diagram? You think swampy water with a lot of organic matter, it'll be the same sort of a deal. We'll end up then, because if it's got organic matter, having humic and fulvic acids, it depends. I'll usually try and make it really quite explicit that it's either under anaerobic or aerobic conditions. If I'm telling you it's under anaerobic conditions, then you'll be heading towards the reducing conditions. If I'm saying it's a stream which is bubbling very freely, okay, then you'll be up into this oxidizing environment. If I'm saying it's a creek without pollutants, then it'll be under the normal pH range, 5.5. up to about 7.5 or so. If I'm saying it's polluted with some acid mine drainage, then I'm asking you to pin this thing down to low pHs because of sulfuric acid being present. So it's basically just a little bit of thinking about where the chemistry is going to position the oxidizing reducing conditions and the pH. The circle's then the possible range of values that we might find. So these are, inside here are the measured values that we would typically have. Okay. That's all the sort of range for the particular samples. So aquifers, relatively constrained in the middle. We've got acid mine drainage then, as expected, oxidizing and lowish pHs. The stability of water lines then, that's inside that. Water is stable outside the stability of water lines. Then we'll potentially get oxidation at the top, reduction down the bottom. To get a decent amount of oxidation or reduction, we have to work at voltages that are outside the norm, which we call an overpotential. So this is where theoretically our oxidation would start occurring. So if we put our water into this zone here, we would expect oxygen to come bubbling out. But actually, it's not until we get past this red line here, which is our overpotential, before we actually get it happening. So ideally for you to bubble a lot of hydrogen out of your swamp, okay, allowing for potential explosion, you have to have a very significant overpotential. So remember this scale here on this side's in volts. So we're saying now that we've got to be maybe down at minus 7 volts or some minus 0.7 volts, and we've got to be under really quite acid conditions and have a catalyst present before we get a decent amount of hydrogen coming out of the swamp. So that's typically why the swamp stone explodes sort of randomly.